Well, amen. Glad you're here tonight. With a couple announcements, and we'll have a word of prayer. And then, of course, choir will sing for us in just a moment. Before we pray, please don't forget, Sunday night after the evening service, we're going to have a time of fellowship with the two remaining missionary families that will be with us. This is Brother Nez's last night. He'll be heading back. Pray for his wife, Sandra. She's not feeling well. She had a rough night last night, rough morning, so she's at home resting. The good news is she's in the room resting by herself. So you pray that she's feeling better, because they've got some running and things they need to do tomorrow before they head back to the rest, so keep her in prayer. And then also on Memorial Day service for that Sunday, the 24th, our children will be doing a recital of the flags and some other things for their children's ministry. So keep that in mind. That's also the same weekend that Brother Fagali will be with us for the Bible Prophecy Conference. So our children will be doing part of our Memorial Day service on that 24th. And let's say, and I've already mentioned the fellowship for Sunday night after the service. You don't have to eat, but just to be honest with you, there'll be some desserts. There'll be some other foods that are left over from lasagna and chicken, some other things, and also some desserts and coffee. But the big thing is just to fellowship, get a chance to be around the missionaries a little longer, ask a few questions if you haven't had to, or get to know them. And let me encourage you, don't let this missions conference end without you knowing something about the missionaries and their family. Something. Get to know them, ask about their ministry, ask about their families, you know, just get a little something, a prayer request that you can find out, that you can jot down and be praying for them and with them over a need they may have, whether it be in their ministry or whether it be in their personal life, a need they have. And the best way to know what that is just to ask and spend a little bit of time with them. So make sure you do that. You'll have that opportunity tonight, and you'll have another opportunity Sunday morning and Sunday night with the Jones and the Davis family. All right, so we're glad you're here. Let's have a word of prayer, and then our choir will sing for us. Lord, we love you. And once again, we are so grateful for the privilege of being here at Harvest Baptist Church. Thank you for our missionary families that are with us. Pray that you be the Harrisons that have made their way back home so they can make preparations and shift gears and get prepared to travel in there to the church, Lord, for their ministry there in Newcomb. I pray that you bless them, give them a wonderful service on Sunday. What a joy it was to spend time with them and get to know them. And then now I pray that you bless our service tonight. Be with Brother Nez, Lord, as he presents tonight, tells us, gives us an update, as we are already familiar with his ministry. Looking forward to that. So Lord, help us just enjoy the time. Help us to worship together. Help us to honor you in that which we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Crucified and risen from
It's so good to have the Nez family with us. He'll come here just a moment here and Sheriff take his time tonight with the video and the challenge. It was such a good blessing to have him. We are a little more familiar with the Nez family as they've been part of our missionary family for some years. I know since before I became your pastor, so well over 3.5 years. Do you happen to remember how many, Brother Nez? About 10 years, so what a blessing. And I've had the opportunity to be there to visit the ministry. Haven't been there for a church service yet, but have been there seeing the ministry, the fellowship hall, what's going there. And so you pray for the Nezes. I want you, don't forget to share a few needs with the church as well as your personal needs while you're here. I do know of one. The Lord blessed them. Some of you may not realize this. They were living in the fellowship hall for quite some time with the church. And now the Lord has given them a house, and they've been making repairs and remodeling. And it still doesn't have central heat and air. So that's one of the things I hope to get in here soon. And that's a project I hope we can help them out with as well. But they've got, it's only 5 miles from the church. And so it's real close by. It's not on the church property. So he can get away when he leaves the church for a little while. But you know how it is when you're a pastor, the closer you are to the church, the more you see folks, which is what our ministry is all about. But it's good to get away a little bit. So you continue to pray for them as they continue the remodel. And I think the next big step is that central air. Other than that, the things are smaller, but still good. So you keep them in prayer. So Brother Nez, you come and introduce your family and the ministry, update on the ministry, and take your time as you see fit.
Thanks for the lift. It is a delight to be here tonight, and Harvest Baptist, we sure appreciate your allowing us to be here, and just to report, give an update of what's going on the Navajo Indian Reservation, and it is a joy to get to meet some new missionaries, and I really do appreciate the message last night, and I really do thank you for that. If you would tonight, if you pray for Miss Amber not feeling too well, I think maybe the conviction after church, after the services, I don't know. And she's not here, so I get to pick on her. And so, but if you don't hear from me, you know what happened. And but nonetheless, if you pray for her, wasn't feeling well last night and this morning, so she's resting up. So Lord willing, she'll be okay as we head home. But I really do appreciate that. Our family, we have 3 in a nursery. And I just love our girls' spirit. They're always willing to serve. They're always willing to do something. And what's neat about it is they enjoy it. And that's what it's all about. And so many of you may not know us. We are the Nez family. We are from born and raised on the Navajo Reservation. It's where we're raised up. And we started Old Pass Baptist Church 2016. So we've been there a little less than 10 years. And from the very beginning, and we presented our work here, and you got behind us, and we're thankful for the investment through the years. And through your giving, you'll see that in just a moment, or through our video, you'll see lives that's been changed. You'll see marriages that's been restored, and just we see restoration, a story of grace, and among our people. And it's been said for many years that a work on any reservation is an impossible work. There's just no way, and that's really what we've been told for many years. But I say God can, and we are evidence of that. And I grew up and came out of addiction, and I thank the Lord for that, and to give me another chance at life, and now we get to, and God had really just changed my perspective on this world and life. And now we see our people in a way, it's different, you know, in a way. Now we see people the way God sees them. And we want to make a difference, and we've seen God do that. And so the 10 years, we've been able to start 2 churches, and we appreciate just your love for the Harrison family. And they're the ones that came and took over Newcomb, and we're grateful for that. And so pastoring two churches has been, I was telling Pastor tonight, I don't know how we did it. You know, my wife and I, we discussed that here last night. I said, when you're in the middle of ministry, you don't realize, you know, the time and the effort and the energy that it takes to pastor not one but 2 churches. But we don't know how we did it, but we did, and I'm thankful for it. And Brother Harrison is a product of really your investment in our ministry, and God has called them there, and they are doing a very great work. They're at Newcomb. They're moving it forward. And so I find no better man fit for that work than Brother Ryan Harrison. And so we got the chance to give an ordination to him here a couple weeks ago. And so that church is under on their own. They're doing a very good job. So I appreciate your love for them. So we've been on the reservation 10 years in two churches, and God has really blessed the work. And I thank Pastor and some of the guys that were able to see the work in a firsthand. And we always try to invite you guys back and see what God is doing. But nonetheless, through the years, we have been able to, God has allowed me to preach in different places throughout the country, and even up in Alaska and Canada. And we try to visit as many reservations as we can in our country. In our country, plus Alaska and Canada, there are over 575 federally recognized tribes, but very, very, very few of those tribes have a church that is preaching gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is my desire to reach those communities. And my desire now, I feel like God has really enlarged our vision. And my prayer is to go to another reservation, and outside our own, we want to start churches. We want to plant churches. And whether it be in Alaska, whether it be in Canada, whether it be here in Arizona, Idaho, wherever God would see fit for us, and we're open to that. And so we're praying that would be the case. And so if you would pray with us on that for wisdom and for direction, we would appreciate that. And so we our oldest, Mariah, is in Bible college, and she just finished up her first year. She has one more week to go. And she'll be coming home for the summer, interning through the summer, and I appreciate your prayers for her. But we want to say thank you so much for your investment in the work, and I hope the video that you see will encourage you this year to give even more. And the work's not done, but we have a little bit of time left, and we ought to do all we can, and we ought to do the best we can to serve God with what little time we have. And I want to encourage you, it's a good work. And every ministry that's been presented, it is a good work. And it is well invested, is well investing in. And I mean, listen, there's a need everywhere. But I just want to encourage you this year, as you take your faith promise cards, man, take those things seriously and make a difference this year. And so with that being said, some needs that we have, two needs we have is the first need is a personal need for our home. Pastor had mentioned that we were living in our fellowship hall for some time. God gave us a house. We're thankful for that. And so the last thing that we are in need of was an air conditioning unit. And so we've been trying to save for that. And so if you would help us in that, we would appreciate that. The cost on the whole unit, condenser, everything, it comes up to about $4,000 is what we're needing for that. And then for our ministry need, we started a school in our church, and we have about seven students, and they're trying to get them out of public school and things. And so Amber's doing a really good job with the students there, and so we're helping them, getting school materials for them, curriculum for them as well, because some of the kids or parents don't really have the funds to buy the curriculum. So we've been helping them in that way. You know, they're earning it in some way. Doing side jobs, and kids do yard work, whatever they can to earn their books and things. And so if you want to help in that, that'll be a blessing. And so we call that the Old Paths Baptist Academy. And so we're thankful for that. And we're getting ready to have two graduates in our school, and high school graduates. So we're getting prepared for that. And so there's a need there. And so, but I want to say thank you again for your love for the ministry, your love for the Navajo people, and just your spirit toward missions, your heart toward missions. It is a blessing. The food's been wonderful. The fellowship's been wonderful. And I really do appreciate this church. And you guys mean so much to us. And it's just really getting behind us in the very beginning. And this video we're about to see, that's fruit to your account. And I hope it's a blessing to you.
Take your Bibles to John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6. And I'd just like to encourage you here tonight, John chapter number 6. But I want to warn you beforehand that many times you may come across a familiar story in the Bible, a familiar text, and I'm sure you've heard many, many messages on these familiar texts or stories in the Bible, but there often can be a danger
that we hear these stories, we can tune out. Well, I heard that before, and I know what he's going to talk about, and I know what's to be said. I've heard that many times, but there's always something fresh, something new when you open your Bible. When you ask the Lord, I ask the Lord this all the time, is that, God, will you show me something in my devotion? Show me something, and let something jump out at me that I can use. And really, that's my heart as I give my devotion, as I open the Bible. I want to get something new. I want to get something I can use for the day. And so John 6 is one of these passages that we are very, very familiar with. And I'm sure we know this by heart. We know what's going on. But there are two verses that I want to just focus on here for just a few moments, and I believe will help us. And so the charge tonight would be this, is be an Andrew. Be an Andrew. And we'll explain that here in just a moment. But let's look here in what the Bible says here in verse number one says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is at the Sea of Tiberias, and the great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into the mountain that there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover and the feast of the Jews was nigh. Then when Jesus then lift up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And he said unto him, to prove for him, for he himself knew what he would do. Verse 7, Philip answered and said, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And so tonight I want to just challenge you in this, be an Andrew. Be an Andrew. Now, there's really two types of Christians that we see. There are those who, what I call hitchhikers, you know, and those that really don't put in the work, they don't put in the effort, they just kind of just follow along for the ride, and on the reservation, you see that all the time. You see someone stand on the road, and they're hitching it, they have a dollar and they want to ride, and or sometimes they even have a dollar and, you know, they're trying to get a free ride. And there are many, many believers who are in churches and really they're not involved, and they pick and they bicker and they complain, they murmur, and they pinpoint everything that's wrong. They pinpoint the preacher and his messages. They pin down the preacher's kids or the missionary's kids, and they find every fault in everything and everyone. And we find believers who often complain, or they make excuse, as we see here in verse number seven, where Philip said unto him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient. We see Philip, who was really the excuse maker. He made every excuse why he couldn't give, or why he couldn't be involved. He made every excuse. And can I just remind us tonight that we all have excuses. Every one of us, we have them. We can make every excuse why we shouldn't give, and why we shouldn't do this, or why we can't do this. And we have them, and we're able to do these things, but really that's not what God wants us to do. And Philip here is really a picture of those who make excuse, and those who doubt, and they fear, and they sometimes they get comfortable, and they begin to go on cruise control and give every excuse. But tonight I want to encourage by this in verse number eight, the Bible says, and one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here. Let's be an Andrew. And Andrew is the one who, you know what, there's a way. You know, I may not have a lot, I may not have much, I may can't do a lot of things physically, I can't teach a class, or I can't do this, but you know, there's something that I can do for God. There's something that I can do for the church. There's something that I can do. There's a place for me to serve. There's something that I can be involved in. Really, Andrew was that difference maker. And he was that difference maker. He was that visionary. He had a vision. He was on the lookout. He made it happen. He made it work, and he was involved. And listen, he was engaged. That's what he was doing. He looked around, and we see Philip, who made excuse why this man is too expensive. It's not going to work. It is an impossible task. And but here's Andrew. He said, "Hey, there has to be a way. There has to be a way that we can make it happen. There has to be a way that we can get more missionaries. We can get the gospel out. There has to be a way." So tonight I want to encourage you to be an Andrew. And I am so thrilled for the Harrison family and when I first met Brother Ryan Harrison years ago, I knew it was him. I just knew it was him. But I didn't say anything to him. I didn't mention anything to him. I let God do it. But I didn't say anything, but I knew it was him, and I saw something in him. I saw something in him that people didn't see. And I said, I told my wife, Amber, this is the guy. This is the guy right here. He's the one that's going to take over the world. I just know it. He goes, "How do you?" I just know. But I saw something in him. Man, when I look at our people, I see something in them. And I look at our teenagers, and they may not have a nice home, and they may not have electricity, they may not have running water, they may not have a job, they might have all the finances, they may not have all the skills, they might not have all the confidence, but can I tell you, I do. And I see something in them, and I say, you know, and I always encourage them, listen, we can do some great things for God. We can do some great things for your life. And I said, man, don't listen to what all those naysayers say. Don't listen to all the stereotypes and their natives are drunks and natives are gamblers and natives can't be trusted. And I said, don't listen to that. And I said, you listen to God, because God wants to use you. I mean, God, you have potential. You have value in your life. And God wants to use you and your family. And so therefore, you see on our video, we see men preaching. We see our teenagers preaching, and they go out soul winning, and they go out, they're running van routes, and they're teaching school. They have their Sunday school classes, and man, they're leading the music, and they're playing the piano. And listen, when we see things that God sees, that's making a difference. But what I'm saying tonight is this, is be an Andrew. There's always something for you to do. There's a place where you can get plugged in. There's some things that you can do to help your church. There's some things that you can do to help missionaries. There's some things that you can do to engage in the work and be involved in the work. And there's always something for us to do. Let's not get too comfortable. Let's not get too busy. Let's not get too sidetracked. And we lose our vision for people. But I want us to notice three things here quickly about this. I want us to be an Andrew. Andrew and Jesus, I believe, we're on the same page. Notice in verse 5, he says, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company. Jesus, number one, he saw a need. He saw a need. And then number two, Jesus responded to that need. In verse number 6, and this he said to prove himself, for he himself knew what he would do. Jesus responded to it. There he saw a need, he responded to it. He knew what he was going to do. And then number 3 is this, Jesus fulfilled that need in verse 12, when they were filled. You know what, Peter or Andrew had the heart of Jesus. Like Jesus, he saw a need. Like Jesus, he responded to a need. Like Jesus, he fulfilled that need. Just two small fishes, 5 loaves of bread. That's it. And God used what little that Andrew had, that lad had, and he was able to feed a multitude. All it is being Andrew. Is find a way. If that means your building is red, praise the Lord. Amen, Brother Davis. Listen, if that means, hey, I don't know, maybe work or not, but yeah, be an Andrew. Folks, be an Andrew. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that someone saw something in me, preacher, that I didn't see. I'm thankful someone invested in me. When everyone else, the world, the devil, everyone just pushed me off and pushed me aside, broken. And I'm glad my wife saw something in me. I'm glad God saw something in me. And I'm glad my pastor saw something in me. And they took a chance on me. I'm glad you took a chance on us and you believed in us 10 years ago. And here we are 10 years later. We're seeing souls saved. We're seeing churches started. We're seeing lives change. We're seeing so God at work on the resurrection. It is amazing to see. It's amazing to see. So church, this missions conference, be an Andrew. Don't make excuse why you can't give. Don't matter your age. Don't matter what you have or don't have. Every one of us, we can make a difference. Every one of us, we can have part in this. And I want to encourage you, have part in what God's doing. Have part in that work there. Have part in this family there. Have part in that work. And you have been having part in our ministry for many years. And it is amazing what God is doing. It is good work. And it takes folks like you who love God, who trust God, who believe in God, and you're doing what God's telling you to do, be an Andrew. We live in a world now, preacher, that we get so distracted, materialism. We get so comfortable, and that causes us to lose our sight, our zeal, our desire, our passion, our love for God, for church, for the gospel, for the Bible. And slowly people now are making excuse why they can't give, why they can't go. That'll not be so, church family. Be an Andrew. Make it happen. Make it work. God has something for you to do. God has something. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you, Father, for the Bible that gives us truth and gives us encouragement, gives us confidence. And we pray, Father, that this church would do some great things, Father, for missions. Lord, as they're moving forward, we ask that you would encourage them, Father, give them the trust, give them the faith and the means, Father, to fulfill your plan. And that plan is missions. That plan is the Great Commission. Father, you've given us a plan. We work that plan. That plan works. And so I pray that we would be encouraged by this. We pray that you fill Brother Jones with power as he preaches tonight. Give us what we need to hear. And we thank you, Father, for the heart of this church, for the heart of the pastor, and for the heart of the people here, Lord, for their love for missionaries. Lord, it's evident. They care about you. They care about the gospel. They care about church planting. They care about missions. And, Father, we thank you for it. And so may you empower them, encourage them, give them their needs, and, Lord, help them. Give them the heart and the desire, Lord, to be involved in missions like never before. We sure love you, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, church family, for all you do.
Just a quick reminder, if we do have our offering, I want to take a moment to just say myself before we take our offering, praise the Lord. God has been so good, and I am so proud as a pastor, so encouraged and so excited from the response of our folks of giving and wanting to be a blessing and encouragement. I know we've had a couple of vehicles that needed oil changes that got their oil changed. We have a missionary that needs a septic for their baptistry and for the motorhome next to the church. So they can have a place to stay till they find a home that's being taken care of, a windshield or a car that's been needs repair that's being taken care of. What a blessing, and it still has some needs. Amen. 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 Still have some needs, and we'll see what the Lord does. And as what I like to do, and we've done it historically here, is the missionaries will leave with enough money to pay for their expenses to get here and to get back without any question. And then we'll be mailing them a love offering to their mission agency that they'll get a little bit later. So those that have not been able to give or waited or later, if you'd like to give again later, all you do is let me know. Say, preacher, really, Lord has laid something in my heart. We're just not in a position to give it yet. That's fine. You let me know when you can and give it. It'll get there. Because I know that happens sometimes between paydays or circumstances or needing to make arrangements with your bank or transfer some funds. I know. And I'll tell you now, Brother Jones, over last night's message, I thought I knew what I was going to give. And I hope I don't change it again after tonight. Already changed it twice. And let me say, it's went up each time, not down. And we still got tonight, and still got Sunday morning, and still got Sunday night to go. So we're real excited what the Lord's doing, what he has done, and what he will do. And, of course, as always, we'll let you know as a church what the total giving was at the end of the conference. I think we're just under a couple thousand now. That will increase, and even more so on Sunday. And then we'll look forward to letting, we'll let you know what it is and what we're able to give and send to our missionaries and some of these projects that we've been able to help and some others that we'll be able to help on. And we'll talk about that as well next week. But anyway, God's been so good. We're so excited what the Lord is doing and looking forward to hear what else and what Brother Jones has for us tonight. And of course, we'll take up our offering. Then our ladies will sing for us as well. Brother Tony, we ask God's blessings on our love offering tonight.
Oh, Lord, what a mighty God we serve. What a merciful God we serve. You give us what we don't deserve, which is mercy, and you don't give us what we do deserve, which is punishment. What a mighty help you are. Help us to take the example tonight. Let's all be Andrews. Let's all look forward to doing something, anything you can do, whether it's picking up a wastebasket or moving chairs, whatever. Just try to be an Andrew. That's a good, I like that teaching. We thank you so much. For saving us. I thank you for personally saving me when I could have died a couple of times, either drowning in a lake or a motorcycle accident. Thank you so much for that I had a chance to get saved. Anyway, we thank you so much for your kindness in Jesus' name.
8 here again tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, and I think I'm going to be turning into the wave pastor. I think that's about what I'm going to be turning. I think all the only thing y'all ever remembered last night is the wave, and y'all are wondering if I'm going to do that again tonight. I can't believe I done that last night and lived, to be honest with you. And I don't think I'll do it tonight. I eat too much. I'm hurting. All the food has been fantastic each night. Thank you. I mean, I'm just, y'all have prepared and brought in, and just, it's just been good, and the fellowship and all the aspects of that. And so thank you again for my oil change today. I mean that, and appreciate him trusting me with his credit card. I felt like a criminal today. I've never done that. Swiping somebody else's credit card to pay for my oil change, and I'm sitting there like, I hope they don't ask for my ID. And I wasn't going to tell them about the Savage 22 Creedmoor I bought today. I wanted to thank him for my personal need that has been met. Amen. And I mean, if you're going to buy a gun. Amen. Thank you again for that generosity. I mean that. I didn't bring it up the other day for y'all to pay for it, but I'm very thankful for that. Amen. And I appreciate the update for the church, but it was new to me about the work that God has allowed the Nez family to do, and that encourages me. I mean, I'm one of these that every time you see something like that, I'm like, Lord, here am I, send me, because it just charges you to go. And so I appreciate that, and thank you for laying your burden on us tonight. Thank you. And I do pray, and I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, give him the $4,000 for an air conditioner. But I don't know what he's complaining about. 100 degrees, that's not bad, you know. It's a dry heat. That's what y'all have been saying. It's a dry heat. I do pray. I mean, I pray that God will give that to you quickly. And summer's coming, and so I'm praying that God will facilitate that. They need a little creature comforts. I mean, they go out there and serve, and so pray that the Lord will do that. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, let's start here in verse number 1. I'm sorry to the sound people, I did not let you know tonight, I apologize. I've been trying to tell them every night of where I'm going to be, and I failed tonight. It says this in verse 1, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Again, that's the churches of Philippi and Thessalonica. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. I want to look at this really, and it's just so simple, really, you know, when you look at it, just a simple word. What an example. God gives us examples through the scriptures, and you'll find the life of David. It's really a life of an example. You'll find in the book of Psalms where he writes Miskiel. If you read when you're going through the book of Psalms, you'll find this word Miskiel, which means an instructions. He says, let me give you a life example so you don't have to go down this same path I did. Or may I give you an example of the way God blessed my life if you'll do this. You'll find through the scriptures many, many, many people like that through the scriptures that God will use for an example. That's exactly what God is doing in 2 Corinthians. And if you'll go ahead and the chapters past this, you'll find that the church of Corinth was given to Paul. But it's quite interesting that God didn't use Corinth as their example. God used the churches of Macedonia as their example. And so God has got an example for us to follow on the avenue of faith promise. And that is beyond your tithe. You say you're repeating that every night. Yes, I am on purpose. And I'm going to do it again in the next services that we have. And missions is not your tithe. Your tithe goes to your local church. That's where it goes. What we're preaching on tonight is beyond your tithe. Your 10% goes to your church. When it comes to missions now, this is how God facilitates missions. And I know we've heard it all our lives. All we give is 10%. No, God has a missions program that needs to be supported. And how does he do that? You'll hear the word, you know, I don't know how it's mentioned out here. You'll find sometimes back at home, they call it grace given. But mostly you'll find it to be faith promise given, that which God has laid on your heart. And you write down that total. That's what this is a faith promise that God, you have laid on my heart to give so much, and I am going to put my faith that you will meet that need every month. And when you do that, and you do it with the right heart and the right attitude, it's amazing what God will do. I want to look at that by the grace of God here real quickly tonight on this thought of a great example. Can we pray, dear Heavenly Father? We sure do love you. God, you've been good to us today. Lord, we just thank you for the sun, the warmth of the sun, the blue skies we've got to see today. I've watched the birds, been looking at how things are blooming around here and how beautiful it gets. God, you brought out your paintbrush, and God, you're just putting colors here in Goodyear, Arizona. God, I have thoroughly, and I mean thoroughly, have enjoyed that in these days. But Lord, as we come to you tonight, Lord, we're asking that you'd help me here. God, I sure do need you. I've asked you through the day that you'd use me as your vessel of clay, just your vocal piece, to be that messenger for you and you alone. Touch the hearts of your people. God, I'm asking that the Word of God would find the right lodging place in each heart that's here tonight. And even for us that is, I guess what you would say, familiar with faith promise giving. God, I'd pray that you'd challenge me even tonight to do more for the cause of Christ. Lord, we love you, we thank you, we honor and we adore you. And we're going to give you glory, for we ask it in thy name. Amen and amen. Paul, again, has given us an example because he says here in verse number 1, he says, moreover, brethren. In other words, he's talking to the church. He was talking to the church of Corinth, but may I say, he's talking to us today. When Paul penned it down to the brethren, it means the same things it does right now. He's talking to Harvest Baptist Church. He's talking to the other churches that are here and represented. He's talking to my home church, Anchor Baptist. He's saying, moreover, brethren. And now he's coming in and he's saying, brethren, we do you to wit. I need you to come to the full understanding of what I'm fixing to bring to you. So many times in our day we try, I think sometimes we cut God off of what he has for us. God is saying to the church of Corinth, I need you to listen to me. But not only that, don't cut me off. Don't put your covers over your ears and saying, well, I've heard that, or I don't understand that, or I don't want to do that. No, God is telling the church of Corinth, hey, I need you to listen to me. I need you to come to the full understanding of what I'm fixing to bring to you. And he talks about this, of the grace of God. Can I say I'm thankful for God's grace tonight? Thankful for his saving grace. I'm grateful for that God's grace has bestowed upon it. I'm just so grateful for it. But when you read the name, the word grace, a lot of times it ties with the provisions of God. That's really what grace is God providing to us. Not that we deserved it, not that I merited that, but God in his mercy and grace has bestowed that upon me. And Paul is telling the church of Corinth, now I need you to see the providing hand of God in these churches of Macedonia. In other words, if God can do it for Macedonia, guess what? God can do it for Harvest Baptist Church. I was in a meeting a few years ago in a church service, and I just was just sort of there, and the pastor invited me to come, and I was there, and all of a sudden, during the middle of the service, I didn't get to preach that night. This pastor, he's invited me 9 times, and out of 9 times, I've got to preach twice. And he said, don't worry about it, Brother Jones. It pays the same. It doesn't matter. I said, all right, preacher. But I remember one night I was there, and I'll say this, and maybe you know, but God just sort of moved through the service, and people were testifying, and just it was just one of those services that God just met with us. And he got up in the middle of service. He said, church, he said, we got 5 missionaries here tonight, and he named all of them off, and I was sitting in there. And he says, we're struggling for money. And he says, all I know is that when you're struggling for money, the best thing to do is just give to God and he'll meet our needs. And we're going to take those missionaries on right now. And he said, we don't even have the money to do it. He took all 5 of us on, and within a year, God gave him $100,000. Can I say, God is no respecter of person. God can do the same thing at that church. God can do the very same thing at Harvest Baptist Church in Goodyear, Arizona. He's saying, I want you to come to this knowledge of the providing hand of God, the grace of God, which is, he says, bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, and that which God has provided, what God has. And the word bestow means to grant. Can I say, God has something that he wants to grant to his churches to bestow upon you. I mean, the Bible tells us about the love of God. For I think 1 John chapter number 3, I believe it is. But behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us to give to us. He's given us an example of this church, and he's using this great church of how they were a given church, and the church of Philippi and the church of Thessalonica. And I need to hurry along here tonight, but you wonder why he talked about these churches. Well, it tells us in Philippians 4:14 about how the church of Philippi, how they gave to Paul in verse number 14, notwithstanding, ye have well done. And may I say, you'll never hear the word well done if you don't do well. God commended there in Philippians chapter number 4, verse 14. He commended the church of Philippi. He says, you've done well. How did they do well? Well, he tells us in that great verse, well, and that you did communicate with my affliction. That word communicate, it means not to talk back and forth like some of us do, but that is that providing, that provision. They were a part of Paul's ministry financially. And they were the only church that did that at that time. And we could go on and read other verses. Verse 15, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church, not even Thessalonica. Now Thessalonica caught on to it. And no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessities. Can I tell you what happens when you start giving? It will affect other churches around you to start giving. I mean, we should not be just takers. We got plenty of those. But this church of Philippi, they were a giving church. And I know I won't get to it this week. I thought about preaching out of this great chapter about God's checkbook out of here, because that's really what it is. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. We pull that verse, but in the context of it, it was because Philippi was a giving church. God to supply your needs is always tied to us giving back. And so we see that he used these. Let me hurry along. Let me get into this. And as they get into the aspect of this church and Thessalonica and how they gave, and we could look at verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 about how they were ones that sounded out of the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia, but also in every place of your faith to God's word is spread abroad. Their faith was heard about their giving. No matter where you went, Paul heard about Thessalonica. They caught on. Can I say what Harvest Baptist Church, Lord help me here tonight, but Harvest Baptist Church, there should be a testimony of this church, not of a taken church, but a given church. Say amen. Even in the Nez family, even on the Navajo, poverty-stricken area, every res is poverty-stricken. It is a third world country. But even on, and I've been on many reservations or res, that's what they call them, res. I'm from Alaska to the Lakota Sioux. I mean, I've been on other res, can I say? And all these, they give. These are given people, and yet they're the poorest people you'll ever know. And so we see that even though, so let's look at, let me give you just some examples here of how they gave. Number one, the preciousness of their giving or the rarity. And it was, when you call precious, it was none like it. And it tells us here in verse number 2, watch how they gave. And it says how that in a great trial of affliction. So many people say, when things get better, I'll give. Well, I'm going to tell you this, not everything's going to get better. Matter of fact, I think things are getting worse. I was texting a missionary today out of Israel, and he said, "Brother, pray for us." He said, "Gas went to $10.50 a gallon today." He says, "We're struggling." He says, "Groceries are gone up, and everything's gone up." And I said, "Brother, we're praying for you." But he said, "Oh, we're good." He said, "God's still good." But even in the midst of a great trial of affliction, and that, and may I say, during the times of blessing, people say, "Well, I'll give more." Usually, we give less than a great trial when we're on the mountaintop. It's usually an affliction where God builds our Christian character. It's usually an affliction of times that we come through that is where God does His most spiritual work, because it drives us to our knees and it causes us to trust Him more in a meaningful way. And that affliction of the Thessalonians did not affect their giving at all, unless, it made them give more liberally in affliction. Not only do we see their great poverty, but look what he says. Boy, I mean, I love the writing of the Holy Ghost. Look at what he says. Not only in their great trial affliction, but he says this. And he says, in the great trial affliction, an abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. And that word poverty, it doesn't mean just being poor. This means to be extremely poor. I have to be so careful traveling back at home in the mountains of North Carolina, because we've got little churches. And this is what we say back home. They're tucked away in the hollers. They're just back there. They're just no-name churches. Nobody knows them. They got a handful of people, about 10 people. They go to church. They sing a lot of songs. They love preaching. And I have to be so careful to give my needs to those people, because I just know they're just simple mountain people who have very little. And yet in their deep poverty, they give the most. I find them to go out there, and I did in one church, pastor said, "Tell us one of your needs." And I told him one of my needs. It was thousands of dollars, not thinking. The next thing I know, I see these little widows giving all they have, and I'm like, "Lord, they need that." And they're getting, I felt about that big. And I mean, if they could have cut a hole in the carpet, I'd have crawled under it. Can I say there's people who give out of not only in their great affliction, but in the great poverty. And I was in a missions conference down in South America about 2 years ago, and we had some preachers from Venezuela, in that country sitting on the biggest oil reserves in the world, and yet they were turned upside down, and they're in great poverty. They literally walked on the money that they had on the roads because it was no good. You couldn't carry enough money to buy a candy bar, and I'm being honest with you. You couldn't carry it in your hand to go to a store and buy a candy bar. That's how poverty they were. And I'll never forget, one of those preachers got up, and they were translating in English. He got up, and this is what he said. He says, "I'm praying that God, if we come back to the way we were and had money and all the things that we had," he said, "I'd rather be poor and destitute and have the power of God in our lives than to have the riches of this world." Yeah, yeah, y'all okay? They gave in their deep poverty and great trial fiction. But they did not only that, but look at the abundance. He said, an abundance of their joy. They were happy people even though they were poor. They were happy people even though they had deep poverty. Some of the most happiest people I know is people who have nothing. They just enjoy life. I've always said this, I'd love to be a hugger at the Great Olympics, at the Special Olympics. I'm not making fun of my nephews in the Special Olympics. But I've often thought, I says, you know, they're never sad. They have nothing to offer the world. People look down at them as they're just special people, and they are. I think they're normal, and we're abnormal half the time. I mean, they don't have a nickel to rub to their name. I mean, they have nothing, and yet they're the happiest people in the world. I mean, they're high-fiving, even though they lose. They're like, yeah, woo-hoo. I'm like, you lost. I don't care. But they got joy. And even the church of Macedonia, can I tell you, they had the abundance of their joy, even in their deep poverty. And it says it abounded under the riches of their liberality. They were liberal givers. That's the only liberal that I like. Amen. Say amen. Well, I'll move along. I felt a stump right there. I better go. But that's what God likes. He likes liberal givers. Amen. And so we see that there is that great, but look at not only that, their preciousness, but the pattern of their example. Because it comes down to verse number 3, and it says this, For to their power, and I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Now I say there's that aspect of that they gave to, that was their ability. When it says, and they gave to their power, can I say, you do have an ability to give. Everybody in here has a ability to give something. I mean, what you gave tonight was in your ability. When that offering plate come by, what you put in there is just something you already had that's given to your ability. Everybody has that portion. Either it's a nickel or a quarter. I had a young boy. I still haven't. He's growing up. He's getting to be a young teenager. And I've kept it all these years. It's in my desk. And I've always told his daddy, when he gets up, I said, I'm going to give it back to him. Because when he was a little five-year-old boy, he wrote on a tithe envelope, and he put his name, and you could barely understand it. And on it, it said 44 cents, and he put the cents before the 44. He didn't know how to do that, and I've kept it all these years. That was his ability. He had that in his pocket, and so when the offering came by, he got a tithe envelope, put it in there with my name on it, and the pastor gave it to me. He said, my boy, give that. I said, I'm going to keep it. And I've kept it all year. It's in my desk. And I look at that. That's ability. There are some people who give by their ability. And that's easy to do. It takes no faith to do that. Y'all okay? I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. It didn't take no faith for me to reach in my wallet tonight and put something in that offering plate. Because I had it. That's their ability. And most people, most Christians, live in the very first part of that verse. When he says here in verse number 3, for to their power, that's your power. But Paul says, hey, wait, there's more to this. Can I say there's some Christians have a great difficulty accepting the message of faith promise given. And may I say you should commit yourself just like my wife and I did over 20 years ago. I said, well, let's try this thing out for 20, I think it was $25 a month, I think is what it was. And that's where we started, and we are way up there, way past that now. Because I was able to do that small amount when I first started, and now we're past our ability. And I say, God wants us to get to that place where we had to put our faith and trust in Him. And watch what He says here. No, and I hope I'm making sense tonight. Lord, help me here if I'm not. But He says, and I bear record, and He uses this word, yea. That's a unique word. I'm dating myself. Do you remember, you ever stayed up late? I mean, back in the 80s, and about 11 o'clock, those infomercials came on. You know, them sharp knives that never dull, that y'all probably got 10 in your drawer right now. You know, and they would slice a pineapple. They'd throw it up in the air and slice that pineapple so nice and neat. And they would cut them tomatoes. I mean, it would just slice. And then they would take that knife and go across a block or a brick. And then they'd cut that tomato. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all got them, right? And they would say, wait, there's more. If you'll call within the next 10 minutes, we won't send you. Not just one, but two, as long as you pay the shipping and handling. And I'm thinking, why do I need two? You said it'll never dull. Why do I need another? I've never bought one, but I catch them quite catching, you know. That's what Paul is saying. Wait, there's more. Just as David says, yea, though I walk, he said, wait, there's more. When you find that word yea in your Bible, usually it's what it means. Wait, there's more to this story. And Paul is saying, hey, wait, they do give to their power, but yea, hey, I got just a little bit more to add to this. And he says, and yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Can I say they got beyond themselves? And you say, well, give us a biblical example of that. Well, I'll be glad to do that. Thanks for asking. 1 Corinthians 17, I won't turn there for the sake of time tonight, but in 1 Corinthians 17, we meet a man named Elijah. He shows up on the scene, goes to Ahab, and he didn't have a sweet message at all. I mean, Elijah had a message of judgment. He says, hey, by the way, he says, it's not going to rain for a period of time. And then God says, hey, Elijah, they don't like you, so I need you to run and hide yourself by the brook Cherith. He went by the brook Cherith, and God says, when you get there, I've commanded ravens to feed thee there. He stayed there, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think he stayed there for 1 year, according to historians. And God says, Elijah, the brook's dried up, and while it's been dried up, hey, I've been working on the heart of a widow woman, but I need you to get up and go to Zarephath. 100-mile journey to Zarephath. No food, no water. No ravens, no water. And he walked 100 miles to Zarephath. And when he walked in there, he says, fetch me a vessel of water. And that wasn't a hard thing for her. Evidently, there at Zarephath, they must have had a real deep well. That's all I can think of. But there was a real big God knew that there was a need for Elijah in that day. And even in a famine, can I say, God was working in the life of Elijah. God says, when you get to Zarephath, I commanded a widow woman to feed thee there. And he went to that woman and said, and while she is going to go get that vessel of water, he said, oh, one more thing before you go. How about make me a little cake first? And she said this. I wish I had time to deal with this. She said this. She says, all I got is a handful of meal and a little cruse of oil. And she says, I've got these two sticks. Me and my boy, we're going to go in there. We're going to make that cake. We're gonna make what little bit we have. We got two little sticks. We're going to brown us up a biscuit. You know, like them biscuits that was over there tonight? We're going to brown up a biscuit. And we're going to eat that biscuit, and we're going to die. I say that's the way most Christians are. We cut God out of our equation. God was working in the midst of all this, and could you imagine Elijah saying, God, you know, you said you commanded a widow woman to take care of me, and she's not too cooperative. Matter of fact, she's not too happy at all. And all of a sudden, he said, oh, make me a cake first. And I've tried to visualize this story. I've twisted this thing around in my mind because I've got a great imagination. And I went in, I try to stand, when I read the Bible, I try to put myself on the street. I try to put myself in the home. I try to just put myself everywhere I can. I like to walk the steps of those words. I love to get in it. And while I was sitting, I just could visualize this woman there as she went into her house, and I always call him Junior. I don't know why I call him Junior. But she went in there, and she said, Junior, go get that cruse oil. She'd reach in there and got that last handful of meal, and could you imagine Junior just taking there and taking that vessel of cruse oil and putting it on there? And could you see him just hitting the bottom of it and that last drop comes out? You don't have cathead biscuits. Like my grandmother made cathead biscuits, but she did them with her hands. Could you imagine, that woman? I've always called her Meredith, and I don't know why I call her Meredith. I hope her name's Meredith when I get to heaven. And could you imagine old Meredith, and hey, Junior, go start that fire. I got two sticks over there. And she pats that thing out. You got that fire going, Junior? Yeah, Mama, I got it.
She goes over there and makes that cake, and boy, she's got it golden brown, and she says, she flips it over, and that fire gets the bottom of that other side of that cake and gets it nice and golden brown. And then she said, Junior, can you go over and get that vessel of water real quick? I can see old Meredith grab that old biscuit and that old cake, gets it out there and said, well, where are we going, Mama? Well, that man out there, he told me to make a cake first, and after we made him a cake, he said that God would take care of the rest of it. Now, I'm thinking out loud, because, you know, I've never had a boy, but I am a boy, and I know what I was when I was little. I like to eat, and I like to eat now. Could you imagine as that Junior looked out that window and says, that man, Mama? Yeah, that man right there. Mama? You dehydrated? You done went cray-cray, Mama. You want to give him the... Oh, we are going to die, that's for sure. There ain't no doubt. We're going to die sooner than you think now, Mama. We're going to give him that last cake, and yeah, we're going to sit there. He said, come on, Junior, come on. Could you imagine as she brought that cake? Can I say that first cake, that was her power. She already had it. That was to her power. She did that cake. Could you imagine Elijah taking that cake? Look at Junior. Boy, your mama's a good cook. And could you see Junior salivating? I know. And you're eating our last meal, you moron. I could just see it. He drinks that water, puts it down, said, man, that's the best meal I've had in a long time. Then they go in the house. I could just visualize this, because I know me, sometimes I'm of little faith. Lord, help now by my unbelief. You know what I'm saying? I guess there's sometimes my spiritual walk is not what it should be. I'm just being honest with you. Could you imagine them going back in the house? And old Junior says, Mommy, you said now, if you fed him, God's going to take care of us. I could just see as she lifted up that, looked in that meal barrel. But I don't think when she looked in, there was nothing there. Because there's no faith. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. I think, I can't prove it, it's just my imagination. But could you imagine when she reached in that barrel and all of a sudden, you ever been surprised by something and you get real big-eyed? I mean, your eyes get about that big. That happened to me last year when I went out to one of my buildings and I opened the door and there was a 6-foot black snake. When I opened the door, he was up looking at me eyeball to eyeball. My eyes got about that big and I shut the door and I says, this is your building, sir. It was his. I sent my wife out there, so I don't know if she killed him or not. But could you imagine as she reached in there, her eyes got big because all of a sudden that handful of meal come out of that barrel, and she said, Junior, go get that cruise oil. Mama, you know I poured the last little bit. You watched me hit the bottom of that thing and got the last drop. Junior, go get the oil. Could you imagine as he turns it up, that oil pulls out that spout. Said, oh, Junior, is that fire still going? You know, I've never read where she ever got another stick ever. I just think God multiplied that fire with them two sticks by faith. He multiplied that bread. Could you imagine as they were breaking that out? I just think I could just see that day after day. Oh, Meredith, feeding the man of God. She did it by faith. That was faith promised. She did her power at first, but when she got past her power, and Paul says, and yea, beyond her power, she gave of themselves. Can I say that's where she lived, beyond her power? And I find that most people never live beyond their power and are given to God. And there's some things in that story I wish I had time to deal with, but may I say, the Bible says there in 1 Kings 17, you'll have to go back and read it, but she said that God, all she did, it was she, he, and her house. God, that's sort of interesting that you'd put on her house. I know you fed her. And I know you fed the boy. But what's her house? And I started to research that. And oh, and really what it means is she fed the community. Her house was her family. Those that she was related to. And I don't know how it happened, but could you imagine old Meredith and Junior in there, and they're just all nice and happy taking care of Elijah, and all of a sudden one day somebody comes up and says, Meredith, Meredith. And in the Bible, you knock three times. Meredith. Could you imagine old Meredith coming to the door? Yes. Why are you so happy? Well, God's been good to us. And could you imagine old Junior coming up behind her? Said, who is it, Mama? And that woman looked at Meredith and says, and why is your son so fat? I got an imagination like none other. Because they've been eating in the midst of what? A famine. No water, no food, and all they're going by is beyond their power. And because of them going beyond their power, God turned Meredith, and I'm not, I know I'm being funny to a degree, but may I say, it's the first fast food restaurant in your Bible was in 1 Kings 17, and it was like that until it rained. I say a lot of people, they never live beyond their power. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know that I've ever experienced it in my life beyond my power. I have seen the glimpses of God's power. And I've watched him do some miraculous things in our home that was beyond our power. I've watched God do things that you just scratch your head at and you just can't explain. May I say, we can do some things, and I believe God will bless that which we do in our power, which we have. But have you ever gotten past what you have and tapped into God's meal barrel, which is beyond your power? God's meal barrel is way deeper than yours. And I heard one man of God preach it. When you get to the bottom of your meal barrel, you get to the top of his. You know what I want to do? I want to get to the top of his meal barrel. I want to scoop into his meal barrel. And I think that woman every day when she did that, and I don't know how many of the Bible, it doesn't tell us how many she fed, but may I say it was beyond her meal barrel. It was empty on that day, and God, by his grace bestowed upon that woman at Zarephath, fed not only her and her son and Elijah, it fed her and her whole family and all those that she was related to. Yea, beyond her power. So we see that example, but may I say, there's the purpose of this example in verse 4. And it says, praying us with much entreaty that we'd receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And what they were saying is that you got to think that the church of Macedonia, the churches of Macedonia, they're Gentiles. You know who they're giving back to? The Jews. You want to know what? The Jews didn't like the Gentiles. But yet, by the grace of God and the abundance of their joy, they said, Paul, we need you to take this. We want to take and allow these old Gentile dogs to take and give this money back to the Jews. Can I say that's what missions is about? Going to people that maybe we don't always like. People that we have hatred to. I mean, when you think about Jonah, God sent him to Nineveh. And God, we need to love who God loves. And I know we like to talk about Jonah and talk about the fish, but Jonah's not about the fish. Jonah is about the love of God to a tribe of people that hated his people. And yet he sent his very own Jonah to tell the tribe of Nineveh, repent or perish. And so we see that he did that, but verse 5, let me hurry, I'm done. I'm up on my time. And I appreciate this time. And this they did, not as we hoped. Look at what they did, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. This is their power of their example. I don't know what it is in our day, in the days that we're living, that we think God needs our money. You say you're asking for your money. I know I am, but God don't need your money. I mean, you think about this, that if you really wanted to think about it, some folks are surprised that God doesn't need our money. And where we got the idea that God's bankrupt is just really beyond me anyways. But you think about when God created this whole world. I wish this was original, but I read it. He says God planted every gold nugget in this whole world. He knows where every grain of gold dust is. And he knows where every diamond is. And he can give us that at any moment. He could turn any mountain around here in gold if he wanted to. But really what it comes down to is that God doesn't really want your money. Just really God wants you. And when he gets you, you'll have your wallet. And if God ever gets us to where we will obey him, you'll tap into something you've never experienced before. There's a lady back at home. I'm done, preacher. I'm right up at 8 o'clock, and thank you for the time. But there's a lady back at home. Her name's Miss Whittemore. Miss Whittemore's 83, 84 years old. She's never worked a day in her life. Her and her husband has been in the ministry for almost 60-something years. She's never drove a car, she's never had a driver's license. She loves the Lord. I mean, she has served God faithfully. She got a burden for the work in Mongolia. And they were wanting to print Sunday school material in the language of those of the Mongolians. And it was going to be thousands upon thousands of dollars. And she told her husband, said, I'd sure like to give money to that. And she said, but I don't have any to give. She said, but I do know a God. He's a big, big God. And I'm going to pray it in. And this Miss Whittemore got on her knees, and she is a prayer warrior. I told her one day, I says, I don't ever want you to pray against me. Ever. She don't. She prays for me every day. They called me today and said, we're praying for you, Brother Jones. Thank you. And now God has filtered through this lady's fingers almost $90,000 for the work in Mongolia to print Sunday school material in their native language. He called me today. He said, Brother Jones, just want to let you know that God give Miss Whittemore another $1,500 to the work in Mongolia. She's just been just praying it in, but can I tell you what's happened? Beyond her power. She never had it in the first place. But she tapped into somewhere that did have it. And she gives to missions every month. She gives to missions every month. She don't. It's not combined her and her husband. She gives the faith promise every month. You know what she does? She just prays it in. And it just shows up in an envelope, in the mailbox, in an offering. As they go about and the church will say, we're going to take up an offering for Miss Whittemore. It's her faith promise, the work to Mongolia. Thousands of dollars has rolled through her fingers. Can I tell you what she's done? She tapped into something beyond her power. But it's all because she tithes and gives the missions every month. And I wish you could hear the stories of this lady, of what God's done through the hands of that individual, that she tapped in. Oh, can I tell you there's more to the story? And yea, beyond her power. Can I say, Harvest Baptist Church, I'm not saying you're not there, but I will say this. If you'd ever get there, there's no telling what God would do with Harvest Baptist Church in Goodyear, Arizona. This, God could use this church to turn the Southwest upside down for church planting missions and reaching one more soul and one more soul. I'm glad we've got an example. This is the question. I'm trying to finish, Pastor. This is the question. Who's the next example? This church needs to be that next example. Harvest Baptist Church. The Nez family there on the Navajo needs to be the next example that they live beyond their power. Let us stand, Pastor. I'm done. Thank you.
Marlene will come and begin playing in a moment. There's folks that have already been heading to the altar. Others may want to come and pray. And pray, will you stand? And let me say again, You can pray anywhere you want to when it comes to talking to the Lord. But I really feel, and though in my heart, and maybe my culture from the South, I don't know, but there's just something special about coming and kneeling before an altar in front of a church and just pouring your heart to the Lord, whether it be, Lord, help me, or Lord, thank you. But the Lord has spoken to your heart today. Why not respond and say, Lord, would you work beyond my power? Lord, would you work beyond our power as a church family at Harvest to do something unique and not just in missions, but in church planting, that we might be a part in helping churches to be established across our land as well as overseas. You talking to the Lord now as our panelist begins, and you ask the Lord to do something in your heart. And if he already has, you respond to him and thank him for what he's doing in your hearts and for the message tonight. Let's pray together as our panel plays. Father, thank you for the message tonight and for the great week we've had so far. Lord, I pray you help us to rest well tonight. Help us be recharged, refreshed, encouraged, Lord, as we go into Sunday. Lord, help us all to be continue to pray about what you would have us to do. Father, many may to know tonight already what they feel the Lord would have them to do and what the Lord desires to do through them come on Sunday. Lord, I pray that you'd give them perfect peace about it. Lord, help us to labor together, Lord, to strive that, Lord, we want you to do what you desire to do for us. Lord, we want you to go above and beyond, beyond our power, Lord. Help us to be obedient, to be submitting ourselves unto you, Father, that you might do what you desire through our life of our church, through the life of our people, and to us collectively as a group. Help us to make a difference, Lord, not just here at Goodyear, but Lord, across our country and even the regions beyond, as the book of Acts tells us. Lord, help us to do what we can. But Lord, help us also, Lord, to trust you to do what you can do through us. And we'll be careful to give you the honor and the glory and the praise for it all. For we ask this in the wonderful name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. All right, as always, the Lord loves you, his preacher loves you. If I can be helping to you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. God bless you. You're dismissed. Missionary, if you would go ahead and make your way toward the back and greet folks as they leave, please make sure you let the missionaries know you appreciate this tonight's Brother Nez, his family's last night. They head back to the reservation tomorrow morning.